Welcome to this week's edition of High School Spodcasters. I'm Scott Titrington, high school sports editor here at the Journal World. We're joined in studio today by Free State senior Katie Hoffman. Katie is a member of the Free State High Girls golf team, and she joins us a little bit to talk about this year and coming off a big week in which she shot a 94 last week at the Firebird Invitational. That's her career best score for 18 holes. So I'm sure she'll discuss that a little bit. And I'll turn the time over to Eric Sorrentino, our Free State beat writer.
Scott, thanks so much. We're joined here with Katie today. And I'll just get right to the most interesting part of your game that I think, Katie. She, following her for nine holes at last week's Firebird Invitational, she hits the ball a long way. We talked about this a little bit last week, but first off, how far can you hit the ball?
Like, when you were watching me last week, I was probably driving about 200 or so. I'm not for sure, really. And, I mean, I just go up there and concentrate and try to hit as hard as I can.
For sure. And go over, also, I remember talking to you about, there's one instance in practice that you hit it a little bit farther than that. Describe what that was like and how far you hit it there.
I just hit it, like, 260, and I was like, everybody's like, where'd your ball go? I was like, well, I think it's up here further, and it was surely up there, so.
And where was this at?
At Eagle Bend.
At Eagle Bend.
Yep.
Good deal. In following you, I mean, definitely last week you were definitely out driving the three other girls in your group pretty much every hole. But let's go into sort of the, you know, obviously we can sit here and talk about it, but let's start from the beginning. Where did you initially learn to hit it that far?
Well, actually, I just started golf like 3 years ago, like mm-hmm. I told you last week. And I mean, my grandparents play, my uncles play, mm-hmm. and I just kind of picked it up. I never really took a few lessons and just kind of all my own. Just
kind of a natural swing there then, huh?
Yeah.
So 3 years of playing, you can already hit the ball that far, huh?
Yeah.
In talking to Coach Craig Hershiser about your swing as well at Free State, he was saying that you guys have definitely been working on it this year. What have you been working on with Coach in terms of your swing and off the tee?
Mostly a lot of it is tempo. I've slowed down my swing a lot, and it's helped a lot.
Definitely. Another thing that he was saying is that in terms of, you know, your swing, he noticed that you used to push the ball a lot more than what you're doing now, and obviously it showed, you know, in last week you're hitting the ball very straight. What's it been like to work on, like, did you always used to push the ball out to the right, or describe?
Mostly, I mean, always went right, and so I aim more towards the left, and it just kind of...
Better result,
yeah.
What has Coach taught you to... Is it just stance, like you aim more to the left,
stance,
or is it anything else?
And my tempo, and the thing that he's been telling me is I need to get my weight transfer down in on my left foot, my front foot, and I've mastered that pretty well. I think so.
Certainly able to do that last week as well. Well, let's also start. You mentioned you've been playing golf now for 3 years. What got you started on the sport of golf? How did you pick it up?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, I just kind of wanted to start playing, and kind of just came naturally. And I was like, Grandpa, I want to play. And
and here you are.
Here I am.
Absolutely. Do you play any other sports at Free State, or is it just...
Yeah, well, I'm not doing basketball anymore, but I did that last year and my sophomore year too. But I also do track. Throw the javelin.
Awesome. Are you going to play basketball again this year, you think?
No, I might try out for the bowling team. But
the bowling team? Okay. A lot of sports going on. Are you going to compete in track then as well next semester? Good deal. Well, let's focus a little bit on last week's Firebird Invitational. As Scott said, your career best, but you had a goal coming into the season that you discussed with me. And mm-hmm. What was that goal coming into the season?
Well, I just told my coach that I wanted to be 98 because that was my last year's best, and I just came out and shot it and had a good day and
absolutely
was excited.
Ladies and gentlemen, only took her two tournaments to surpass this year's goal, obviously getting off to a huge, huge start this year. Let's go over the round. 94, best score of your career, obviously, at Free State. What about your round enabled you to shoot that 94 on the course?
Well, I think advantage was being able to like practice there, and mm-hmm. my best, I mean, I shot a 42 or something on the front nine, so
wow.
that's the what we usually practice on, and I just went out and played well.
There you go. 42 was this at the Invitational, or was this?
Yeah, I okay. think I don't remember. Okay. I think I shot a 42 on the front nine, and then a 52 on the back, or something like that.
Good deal. Well, hey, however it gets done, that'll work. Obviously, you do have the advantage, you know, in the Firebird Invitational, obviously, of practicing at Eagle Bend. You mentioned that when Coach has you guys practice, you usually play nine holes. What do you focus on in practice? Like, do you actually keep score? Or,
yeah, we keep score, and, I mean, you just try to improve your score every day. And, I mean, some days we'll just go out and go to the driving range and chip and putt, and on, like, big weeks, like, two or so tournaments that week. So
sure. Does Coach go out with you guys and
he follows us around and kind of helps us a little bit if we're struggling and
right absolutely out. Let's now focus on you, obviously Katie's the number I guess rated the number one player on the Free State team. She's the number one in on the Firebird squad. What has it been like kind of being the leader of this of the team this year?
It's pretty exciting. Grace Braylor, she's a freshman. She's good. I mean, yeah. I thought she was going to beat me on that Invitational, and I was kind of excited about that, too. But she'll be great for Free State when she gets up there, too.
Absolutely. You talk about only a freshman. Obviously, she has a lot of years to go as well.
Mm-hmm.
After Katie leaves, that might be a name to kind of look out for as well. What about golf? Obviously, you've been playing for 3 years. Would you say your favorite part about the game is?
Like that it's an individual sport, and you're just, like, trying to improve your score by
sure.
yourself and just sure. concentrating on the sport.
Yeah, definitely. It is a little bit definitely individual as opposed to the team game. But we talked a lot about your driving and everything, and that's obviously the strength of your game, or at least I would say from what I've noticed. But what about your game would you like to improve upon as the season progresses?
My approach shots, I have gotten better, and like last week I also had a tournament on Wednesday, and it was just at Overland Park, and I did a alternate shot with another teammate, and my shots were pretty good on that, but just keep practicing on everything.
Yeah, definitely. And how would you say that you know, we mentioned the approach, what about your putting have you noticed? Does that kind of go along with what you'd like to improve, or what have you noticed there?
My putting's improved a lot since last year, I think, and I just learned to line it up better. And
absolutely, and something that I've noticed also, I think, I forgot what hole it was, but it was one of the later holes that you had. When I saw that you had that birdie
mm-hmm.
out there, and that was kind of interesting. It was on a par four, just bombed it down the fairway, nice little approach on the green, and then yeah. putted it in. When I asked you about the putt, you said you didn't think it was going in. Do you remember that?
Thought it was going to be short. I just kind of slowed down, and I was like, ah.
Ended up going in, though, huh?
Yeah.
It's always a good feeling. Talk about, Katie, the next match for Free State. When is that going to take place?
Thursday at Albemarle, and it's an all day. It starts at 8
in 8 a.m.?
The morning, yeah.
Okay, great deal. So at Albemarle, Albemarle, Eagle Bend, do you have sort of a preference?
I think we're supposed to go out and play it on Wednesday during practice, so see
okay.
how it goes there. And I played good there last year, so
yeah, that was the 98 was
yeah.
at Albemarle, though,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so the 94 is Eagle Bend, sure.
Yeah.
What's your hope for, I mean, now that you've accomplished your goal, is there maybe a new goal now to maybe
just
beat that 94 again? Or
possibly, yeah, just stay in that range at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Any sort of goal or what's your hope kind of coming into the next tournament?
I just hope my drives stay consistent like they did at Eagle Bend and just play a good round.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's Senior Katie Hoffman, and that's that'll wrap up our questions for today. So thanks for coming in, Katie. We really appreciate it.
We again thank Katie Hoffman from Free State High for coming in and talking a little high school golf. Now we're going to switch away from the little white ball to the oblong brown one and talk a little football. I'm joined again by Eric and also by Jeff Fedotin, our Lawrence High beat writer. Let's launch right into what we saw in week 3 of the high school football season. Free State maybe a little bit narrower game than they were anticipating, snuck by Shawnee Mission North 20-14 on the home turf at Haskell Field, or at Haskell Stadium, excuse me. Meanwhile, Lawrence High goes on the road, rediscovers its running game in a commanding 42-21 victory against Shawnee Mission South. Let's start with Lawrence High, Jeff. How big was it for them now that they get into this portion of the schedule where there's some winnable games, that they were able to come out, get that first victory, establish some momentum, and do it the way they like to do it by running the football?
It was huge. I mean, just first of all, from a record standpoint, just 0-2 is a pretty big hole. So to get that win, that was a big, big win for them. And you mentioned the running game. They had not run the ball like they have in the past, and they certainly ran the ball effectively Friday. Tony Williams with over 200 yards, and he wasn't the only one. He actually left with cramps, and Malcolm Sims came in and rushed 63 yards on 10 carries. And Tyler Hunt, a fullback who's looked good all year, he surpassed 100 yards as well. And so I think any questions about the running game, and there certainly were questions, were put aside with this game. Tony Williams looks like the real deal and somebody, you know, that can replace Kellerman from last year as the feature back. That was the second time he surpassed 100 yards on the year. So he's the real deal.
Now let's talk a little bit about Free State because of the way some scheduling worked last week with Kansas playing on Friday night. You actually, Jeff, were out at the Free State game as well and got to see them for the first time this year. Just give me your thoughts on what you saw transpire out there at Haskell.
It was a very interesting game to watch. The thing that really stood out is Free State's a very talented team, but they seem to overlook Shawnee Mission North, who doesn't have as high a reputation as some of the Olathe schools, but showed some talent. A lot of the players and the coaching staff admitted afterward that, hey, you know, we didn't come out with a fire in the first half that we needed to, and said it was probably a good way to learn so that doesn't happen again, because they did not score in the first half, Free State, and trailed 7-0 going into the second half. Second half, the Murphy brothers, again, the big plays took over, and they ended up barely eking out the win 20-14. But, yeah, that's the thing that stood out and you know, showed that you can't really lay down for anybody, no matter how talented you are.
Right. Now, I was alongside you in the press box for most of that game, getting a chance to watch things. My impressions, and we talked about this a little bit as halftime approached, for the first half, they looked like the Free State of last year. They were dropping passes. They were committing penalties. They weren't stopping Shawnee Mission North. The Indians came out and really featured a balanced attack, made good use of some tall, quick wide receivers that they had, also ran the ball effectively. So they had all these different things going on, and then they came out in the second half and were able to get some things going and eke out the victory with that last drive with Brian Murphy putting the ball in the end zone. So let me gear this to you, Eric, since you're our guy who's been covering the Firebirds all season. Does this kind of game maybe ultimately help Free State, maybe knock them down a peg and realize, hey, people are still talking about us, we're 3-0, but we now know what it's like to go in against somebody that we should really, quite honestly, handle and struggle a little bit. Does that help them and maybe take them off their high horse a little bit?
A little bit, definitely. If you look at it, the first week of the season, 60-0 against Leavenworth, that was expected. This, 20-14, this was not expected. And I really think that this was a simple case of overlooking the opponent. You look at Free State's schedule the next week, Olathe South. Next week after that, Olathe North. These three teams are all 3-0 right now. So really, the Sunflower League, you know, how it's shaping up, we'll really know what Free State's all about if you really don't know already after the next 2 weeks. I really just think that this was a simple case of, okay, let's go in here, you know, take care of our business, and then, gosh, at Olathe South, at Olathe North. I mean, you know, you can't look past that, definitely, and I think that this was just a simple case of them just looking ahead. But, hey, you know, I guess a victory is a victory, as they say.
Now, everyone always talks about big-time players need to step up and make big-time plays. That happened for Free State. As dull as they were for most of the game, the big plays, a 60-yard touchdown pass to Christian Ballard. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but a long run by Ryan Murphy. And then the final drive where they did grind it out and kind of took it 5 yards at a time before punching it into the end zone. So they have some positives, obviously, to build on. Talk about that going into this Olathe South game. Like you said, a matchup of two unbeatens.
Absolutely, Scott. You can take a lot of and I was actually surprised when I was looking at some positives to take away from this game. There are a couple of positives that you can take away from this game, in my opinion. You look at it, and you know, while they looked at a lot like the Firebirds of old the first half, that was a problem that they had in, you know, last year, closing out games. You know, what did they do? They come back and they score 14 in the third quarter, close out the game. I mean, that's something they couldn't do last year. You also look at the rushing defense, something that we talked about last week, and I really paid close attention to that. They were giving up 206 yards rushing per game, 99 against Shawnee Mission North. You know, that's not too bad. You could take away a positive from that as well. And so, you know, there are a couple of positives to take away from it. And as Jeff's article read, Kyle Winemaster with the closing tackle of the game, you know, kind of stepping up. The defensive line had just not stepped up for this team. And Winemaster, you know, sealing the victory, you know, 99 yards rushing. You could take away some positives from this game as well. And also, Free State rushing the ball, 261 yards rushing, 36 carries. That's an average of 7.25 per carry. Why they weren't running the ball all game is beyond me. Of course, I wasn't there, but, you know, there are a couple positives that stood out to me there.
Now, you mentioned a few different times about this tough portion of the schedule for Free State, Adelaide South, Adelaide North, the two teams that share those records with them. On the flip side, now is the time, it looks like, when Lawrence High might be able to make a little bit of hay. They had those two same schools at the beginning of the year and dropped both of those games. A lot of people worried, what are we going to see out of Lawrence High this year? They come back and win a game. They should win against Shawnee Mission South. Now it looks like they've got another one of those playing host to a winless Leavenworth team on Friday. So, Jeff, how important is it for Lawrence to keep this momentum and to get themselves even this week?
Very important. And we sort of saw this coming, as we mentioned before the season, that they had a young squad replacing 18 seniors in a very tough schedule up front. And so we expected a couple growing pains early in the season. And then when the schedule got lighter, when they had been together a little longer, that they were going to, you know, down the stretch become a better, stronger, more impressive looking team. And I think that's certainly the case. I'd be surprised if Leavenworth won. Just they haven't won yet this year. It's a homecoming game, so Lawrence is going to be very excited. And Lawrence High beat them pretty handily in their first game last year. So I expect the momentum to continue.
Now, obviously, when you're 1-2, you're really not able or shouldn't be able to look past anybody because you yourself aren't a 500 club yet. Any concerns at all that Lawrence does maybe overlook Leavenworth? Because the next game on the schedule is against Shawnee Mission West at West, probably the toughest game of the year that Lawrence High is going to see other than the rivalry game against Free State. So any concerns that they feel too good about themselves based on what they did against South and that they look past what's considered a weaker opponent before their next game?
You know, Scott, that did occur to me because that looked to certainly be the case with Free State. But I don't think that's going to happen for a couple reasons. One, like I said, it's a homecoming game, so I think they're going to be fired up naturally. Also, again, I've been very impressed with the coaching staff. That Coach Webb is very tough on this team, and I don't think he's going to let that happen, let them get a big head. And like he said after the Lawrence game, after this past Friday's game, that they still haven't played really a complete game. They really had it going offensively on Friday, but yes, their defense still allowed 21 points. Shawnee Mission Stouts still had 164 rushing yards, so they still know that there's a lot of work to be done. So I don't see their head swelling too much.
Now let's focus a little bit on the opponents that the two city teams are going to see this week. Let's start with Olathe South. As we've mentioned a few times already, 3-0. We'll be playing at their home field at the Olathe District Activity Center at 7 o'clock on Friday. Last week, Olathe South knocked off Shawnee Mission East 29-14. The week prior to that, Olathe South played Lawrence High in a 14-7 game. So looking at the numbers, looks like Olathe South's kind of what they like to do is keep the score low, mm-hmm. maybe bust a few touchdowns here or there. It looks like they were able to do that against Shawnee Mission East. So how important is it going to be for Free State, Eric, not to lapse into the same type of game they had this last Friday? Yes, they were able to grind it out, but how important is it for them to go out and say, we believe our high-powered offense is better than your stingy defense, and kind of set the tone?
That's exactly right, because if they do what they did in the first half against Olathe South, they will not win the ball game, and I think everybody can agree on that. But this is an opportunity, and this is kind of a, gosh, it's almost like they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, these two squads, in terms of you look at the, they match up very well, I would think, with the Free State high-powered offense, Olathe South stingy defense. I don't really see this being like a 14-7 game like I did with Lawrence High. You know, Lawrence High can, you know, they were right in the game as well. Just didn't pull it out in the end, unfortunately for them. But looking at the Free State game, gosh, it's going to be interesting. With the most interesting thing for me is, will Olathe South allow all these high-powered plays that they're used, like Ryan Murphy with his 90-plus yard kickoff returns? I mean, this just looks like a team that doesn't let that happen on a daily basis. So it should be, or on a weekly basis, excuse me. So it should be interesting to see if they can pull off how they, you know, these scores, and that's how they've been scoring this year, 90-yard plays, 80-yard plays. So will it happen? We'll see next week.
Ryan, I think the interesting thing, and Jeff and I were both able to see this last week, is in a game like this, Free State's going to have to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented. By all rights, they should have beat Shawnee Mission North by a bigger margin than they did. Even as poorly as they played in the first half, there were open receivers. You know, Ryan Murphy was putting the ball where he needed to a few times. Yeah. Things didn't happen and things like that. And it seems to me those are the type of things that they've got to avoid against Olathe South. It's not a matter of whether their playmakers are going to be in a position to do things. Based on what we've seen out of these guys this year in all three games, Coach Lisher is going to put them in the right places to be successful. The key is these athletes actually doing that and not shooting themselves in the foot.
One interesting thing to watch, too, is just from a matchup standpoint, is for Olathe South, I've gotten a chance to see them against Lawrence, and their running back, Anthony Sanchez, looked very strong. He's surpassed. Week one, he had the highest total in the Sunflower League. And they certainly have some beasts up front, Free State. But they have had some trouble stopping the run. That could well be the deciding factor, that run defense versus a very strong running game for Olathe South.
Now shifting gears again back to the Lawrence High game. They face Leavenworth, as we said. Leavenworth is 0-3. That game will be at 7:30 p.m. at Haskell Stadium. It'll be the Lions' homecoming, so there'll obviously be a lot of excitement. What do we know about Leavenworth? We obviously saw them against Free State, and they got beaten badly. They didn't show any signs of life. Perennially a program that struggles in this league. So do we have any idea what to expect from them on Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, I do expect them to struggle again. The one thing, I do expect them to be fired up. They lost badly to Lawrence last year, and hey, Lawrence is such a traditional powerhouse. They get everyone's best shot, so I think they're really going to give it their all. But I think talent wise, they just don't have the horses that Lawrence currently does.
And just for the record, Leavenworth is coming in off a 26-0 loss to Olathe East, so we're talking no points against Olathe East, no points against Free State. You got to figure this might be the game. You mentioned earlier Lawrence High still maybe not quite at that level defensively that they want to be at. Sounds like this might be a game where they can get healthy and maybe put a good number on the board.
That's what I'm thinking, too, that, yeah, they certainly have not played a 48-minute game, a full game on both sides of the ball. This could be, as you said, the week that it happens.
And also something to point out about Leavenworth, I think the one time that we saw them might not have been fair to them. I mean, the first game of the season, I think they had like 7 fumbles against Free State. So that, and you know, first game jitters and everything. Obviously, they didn't look strong, but they haven't scored all year. So I don't know. It should be an interesting game.
All righty, let's shift gears for a few minutes here and look at area football. We talk always about how strong football is here in the city, and Free State in particular is showing that this year. What sticks out after seeing 3 weeks of what's been going on in the area for you two?
Well, I think the thing that's got to jump out to you is Eudora, just the way they're even for the eight-man football, or where there's a lot of yardage and a lot of points. I mean, they had more than 600 yards of offense, scored 71 points. I mean, even for that,
that's ridiculous.
League and those rules, it's just staggering that what they're putting up.
Now, just to clarify, sorry, Eudora doesn't play eight-man. They're smaller, but they don't play eight-man. They're 11-man. That's Veritas Pride that we're thinking about. No big deal. Hopefully Coach Greg Webb won't hold that against us any. But you look at some of the scores they're throwing on the board, and it almost looks like it.
That's probably why I thought that.
I mean, when you go and post 71 points against somebody in a high school football game, in a rivalry game nonetheless, Eudora-Wellsville, big rivals, obviously says some great things about what they're doing so far this year.
Another thing, I mean, that kind of is like an interesting transition. We could go to Veritas. That kind of stuck out to me this week, Scott. I mean, you look at 32-6, played definitely better, apparently, than they have been playing all year, but it just has really showed that, to me, Coach Doug Bennett, I mean, he had a good game plan going into this game. They were kind of in it. They actually led 6-0 after the first quarter, so you're thinking maybe these guys can turn it around on the road. They've been struggling this year, and that's a program that last year didn't seem to struggle quite as much as they have been this year. So that kind of stuck out in my mind. And gosh, I don't know. I don't know if it looks favorable looking forward for Veritas when they'll win that first game.
Yeah, you gotta think it's going to be a long year. You look at their schedule; they're 0-3 now. The first game they played Baileyville, which is a Class 1A team. Yeah. It's in the Acacia League as opposed to the Christian League. So you knew that they were probably going to have some problems there. But they've come back now in back-to-back weeks against teams that they beat last year and have lost handily. So you've really got to wonder if the pieces are in place where they can generate anything this year, or whether this really gets chalked up to just a building year and setting the stage for next year.
And it's almost as if it's do or die in these. Like when you look at it by quarter, it's almost as if Veritas either plays exceptionally or, I mean, they didn't give up any points in the first quarter, 16 in the second, didn't give up any in the third, and then 16 in the fourth. So there are flashes there. It's just they haven't been able to put it together, it seems.
Now, we've talked a little bit about Eudora. Eudora is one of six area teams that we have here in our coverage area at the Journal World who are still unbeaten, not counting Free State into that mix. One of the others would be DeSoto, that also plays in the Frontier League. The other four all come out of the Kaw Valley League, which I think is going to set up some interesting matchups here the rest of the year. And I talk a little bit about this in my column that was in this morning's paper. All four of those teams are going to be going head-to-head in some version or another on Friday night. We have Tonganoxie playing host to Mill Valley, and we also have Perry LeCompton heading out to Santa Fe Trail. Just give me some quick thoughts on what you guys know about those games and what you might expect to see.
Well, I mean, the thing that jumps out to me, Scott, is that looking at Tonganoxie, they have really played, I mean, really well all year, seemingly. Doesn't it seem to you that Daniel Volk and Jeff Hughes are just on the board constantly? These guys produce so many touchdowns for this squad. And the question is, can anybody stop them? I mean, they produce, let's see, 1-3 scores for Tonganoxie again, their 42-7 victory against Bonner Springs. So this looks like a pretty nice 1-2 punch for that team.
And, yeah, I'm just excited for once the playoffs start. I mean, you have so many teams playing at a high level that it's going to be interesting to see who knocks off who.
Yeah, I think it could be a real interesting night Friday. I mean, you look at these four teams, and just a quick glance at each of them. You mentioned Tonganoxie. Right now, you give me a vote for the Area Player of the Year, which once we get to that point, I'll have a vote. It's got to be Jeff Hughes. You mentioned what he does. He started all last year as a junior at quarterback for Tonganoxie. Also did a number of other things on the field. Comes back this year as a senior, an experienced leader of a team that had a lot of success last year. And the guy just does everything. I mean, we made a joke about all the things that Christian Ballard's going to do for Free State a couple of weeks ago. Well, Jeff Hughes does that and more. We were talking starting quarterback, starting free safety, kicker, punter. Yeah. I mean, the guy has his hand in just about everything. They're going up against a Mill Valley team who, of these four teams that we mentioned, is the only one that doesn't play in the Class 4A ranks. They're actually a Class 5A program. So it'll be interesting to see whether Mill Valley is for real, or is Mill Valley feasting maybe against some teams that are in their league but are a little bit smaller. One thing that's no doubt, Mill Valley will feature Justin Woods, tailback who's already committed to play at Kansas State next year. You look at that other game on Friday night, Perry and Santa Fe Trail. On one hand, if I'm Coach Mike Paramore out at Perry, I'm a little bummed by the fact that this game's at Trail. Last year, if you'll remember, when we had the really bad rainstorms in the middle of October, this game was supposed to be at Perry-Lecompton. It was supposed to be Perry's home opener after three games in a row on the road. Their field was unplayable, and they had to move it to Trail. And Perry barely squeaked out a victory over a Santa Fe Trail team that finished the year 2-7. So you come back this year, Perry was thought to be rebuilding. Instead, they're 3-0. Santa Fe Trail, new coach in there, didn't know a lot about them going into the season. They're 3-0. I think this could really be an interesting game to show what these two teams are made of.
It should be. That's no doubt about it as the season progresses. They'll be really interesting. Another thing that kind of stuck out to me, how about Baldwin getting its first victory of the season? I kind of had a question for you, Scott, with respect to that. I mean, our reports were, that came out on Saturday's paper where it was mentioning that, of course, it's the first win of the season. But the coach kind of seemed to credit the pregame festivities that were going on at Baldwin. Apparently, they make a big deal about it. It's out at Baldwin. Have you ever seen that?
I actually haven't been there, but I've heard a lot about it, the Baldwin Bash.
Yeah.
Baldwin plays out at the Baker University Stadium, right. So they have a little more room maybe than the typical high school
that
field.
That might be a reason.
But yeah, it's a big event. It's what you like to see about high school football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a town really embracing a team. They do that the first of the year, that first home game, have a big tailgate party. You got to figure later in the year they're going to have a homecoming. So if they can find something to tap into each night that they're at home, that's great.
Hey, first victory, right?
Yeah, and what better way after starting out 0-2. And Baldwin has some big expectations. They had a lot of kids back from last year, some talented skill position kids. Came out, had a tough schedule, and drew two tough games to start off the year. And we'll draw another tough one this week. Actually, correct that. And any of you Ottawa viewers, I'm sorry to bring this to make that correction, but they actually play Ottawa this week, and Ottawa has really struggled, has allowed more than 50 points on the board every game so far this year. So you got to figure it's another good chance for Baldwin to get another victory. And it'll be interesting to see. We talked last week about Eudora and how dominant they are, but the true litmus test coming later in the year when they start playing programs more along their same size, because they're stuck in that smaller portion of the Frontier League. Baldwin has the opposite problem. Still a 4A school, but one of the bigger 4A schools. So they're playing against Ottawa and Gardner-Edgerton and some of the bigger schools that are 5As and bigger 4As in the league. So it'll be interesting to see once they get to where they're playing teams more their size, does all these tough games that they've had so far translate then into greater success for them when they're playing people their size? Alrighty, well, anything else either one of you want to add about the high school football scene as we get ready to go into week four?
I think that about wraps it up. Anything else?
I think that's about it, Scott.
Alrighty, well, looking at the schedule again this week, we've got Free State at Olathe South. That'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff at the Olathe District Activity Center. For those of you who might be heading over there, don't get confused and go to the College Boulevard Activity Center, because you'll be on the wrong side of Olathe. The second game Friday will be Leavenworth at Lawrence High. Again, that's the Lions' homecoming. 7:30 p.m. kickoff. Might want to get there a little early. Figure there'll probably be a pretty good crowd out there. And then our area game of the week will feature Mill Valley at Tonganoxie, one of those games that we discussed just a little bit earlier. That'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff at Beatty Field right on the Tonganoxie campus. And then finally, Veritas gets its home opener. They'll play host to Wichita Trinity at 7 p.m. So for Eric Sorrentino and Jeff Vidotin, I'm Scott Titrington. We hope you enjoyed this edition, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week.